Welcome back to Super Tuesday Recap with your host Chris and Deep. I'm here, and we are here. We are back after, what's it been, like 3 weeks?
It was like, I want to know, we love the shows. We love recording these shows. We did them because we enjoyed them. It was so nice.
Oh, it was nice. Like, we got, we're going to talk about the Arrowverse news, the Arrow news at the end of this season. But I'm going to be like, I don't know, maybe it's because we reviewed these shows, I'm not as upset as some other people.
It's interesting because we'll talk about this at the end, like you said, but when you see things like cancellations or like something gets moved, you can tell the people who either came in late or found it late, mm-hmm. or don't really are not week to week watchers like we are, because they're like, what, this is a Travis scenario. I'm like, dude, it's been 7 years,
right? I was just like, I don't know, man, give
7 years, yeah. Like, this is if this was a sports career, if this was a quarterback who had 7 years in his prime, like, great job.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Hall. Like, you, if this was, this is a great, Michael Jordan won what, 6 and 8 in 8 years?
Yeah.
Look, this is a peak for an athlete.
Yeah. Walk off.
What you remember. This is what your nostalgia does for you.
Yeah. Walk off. It's okay.
Yeah. We can better to walk off than be carried off.
Yo, absolutely. So, so we had this break, and I'm not gonna lie, I enjoyed that break. I love talking to Deepam all the time, but I enjoyed it when came to a Wednesday and I'd be like, wait, either we're only doing one show or we're doing no shows. It's like, is this what Wednesday?
Someone asked me to do something on a Wednesday like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, I can. Like, it right. was, it was a moment of revelation. Like, I was like, I can commit to that. I will be there. And I was there, and it was great.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow. Is this what Wednesdays are like? This is.
Huh, you guys have a whole world out there on Wednesdays, right? Even to yourselves.
Right. But anyway, we are back with The Flash Season 5, Episode 15, King Shark versus Gorilla Grodd. When Gorilla Grodd attacks Central City, Barry and his friends find themselves teaming up with King Shark. When they hit a snag, they bring in Dr. Tanya Lambden to try to reach the man behind the shark. So we're coming back from the break, and we're coming in with... Listen, man.
I'll let you say whatever you want to intro, because I have my own intro.
Oh, you know what? I completely forgot we're doing that.
It's just me singing the King Shark song from Secret Six.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. You know what?
A motherfucking shark!
We are rusty. I completely forgot. I'm making my own synopsis.
Mine's just, I've written down like sing the King Shark song from Secret Six.
I'm gonna put that in the notes, because that goes for both of us then. Because I am so rusty. I completely forgot I was doing that. So go figure.
I was ready.
Anyway,
I was ready.
I know you were ready. I gotta say this about this show. They've gotten better with the CGE, because I was like, you know, when you say you're gonna do King Shark versus Gorilla Grodd, I'm like, listen. We've had some moments. Like, I think, was it last season we did the Gorilla City stuff? And we were like,
man, it is gone. We done come a long way, bro.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I for a TV show, it's okay. But I'm like, you guys get kind of rough. Here we literally have King Shark versus Gorilla Grodd. And I'm like, not bad.
Season 5. It's been an interesting season. Because I looked through some of the episodes we've seen. And you're like, oh, well, this is, you know, like the 52 different 52 different timelines, mm-hmm. the Goldface episode. Like, a lot of these are like, oh, these are kind of smaller episodes. They were saving their SFX budget for this episode.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
This is it. This is why, like, Bear's not in the suit. This is why.
Yeah.
This is it. Yeah. You're wondering, this is it. Exactly. Precisely. This is why.
Like, they literally had old boy turning into King Shark like he was a fucking Hulk, and I was like,
nigga, look, it looked great. Okay, so let's get out of the way now, because I'm gonna praise the shit out of this episode, because they gave me Gorilla Grodd versus King Shark. Yeah, why is pants expand? Nigga, look, he's wearing like a full, like, khakis with a belt. You weren't wearing the Bruce Banner like purple joints?
Right.
And they kept the camera on his face, so I couldn't help but notice watching the waist expand. I was like, look, just pan up like 2 inches.
Right.
I'll never say another word about it.
Yeah. I mean, but
that was my only thing the entire hour, because this hour was so much fun.
Yes, it was actually really fun. It was really great. It reminds me of those season one episodes where you're like, are they really gonna do this? Are they really going to have King Shark versus Gorilla Grodd? Like, the only thing that would be better for me is if they didn't tell us the episode name with King Shark versus Gorilla Grodd. So, and Gorilla Grodd just shows up, and we're like, wait, are we really about to do this? Are we really about to do our own version of King Kong versus Godzilla? Which is really what this turned into. If you want to be honest, this is what this turned into. This turned into King Kong versus Godzilla, which
before we get too deep into this, let's have you and I have a conversation real quick.
Okay.
Gorilla versus like land shark. Who you got?
Gorilla versus land shark. Because see, I
we're gonna take away. We're gonna make them both as smart as the average human.
See, I consider land sharks bears.
Oh, okay. So, wait, for the record, we do not talk before we talk about this. He had no idea I was going to bring this up. I was like, gorilla versus bear is the closest analog.
Right.
Because that's what, and people are like, oh, bears are cuddly, smoky. No.
No.
If you've ever been hunting or ever seen a bear?
No, nigga, bears are terrifying. Bears are
fucking terrifying.
There was a video of, and it was like a mama grizzly, and she had her cub, this and there was so a black funny. Bear. And it was like the black bear had to be like, it was far away, but somehow that mama grizzly thought the black bear was threatening her cub, and that bear charged down that motherfucking mountain, and the black bear saw it and decided to shoot up this tree. Not some small tree, like a tall-ass tree, and that fucking grizzly charged up that tree with him, and I was like, nigga, no. Because if a bear charges me, the first thing I'm going to do is, I'm not going to be able to run it. I'm going to try to climb up high, and I'm like, nigga, that's not safe either. Cause they were
you're just gonna die tired.
Right, you're just gonna right. You're not gonna
what the fuck are you doing here?
Like
you're trying to mitigate the no, it's gonna suck.
Right. So
whatever happens, it's gonna suck.
Yeah, so I consider land sharks bears, and so a bear versus a gorilla, I still got the bear. I don't know. It's very weird. Like, are we talking like Planet of the Apes gorillas? Because then, okay, then fine. But, like, I don't know, no, man.
It's a tough question to ask. And I think it's even funnier because you and I have the exact same view on bears.
Yeah.
I know people are like, oh, this, like, people are like, oh, some people killed a bear. Like, if a bear dies, I'm partying.
Bears are terrifying.
They are terrified.
Bears are terrifying. Have you ever seen a bear without skin? Like, there was that thing where, like, a bear died, and so the skin of it, like, dissolved away, so all that was left was, like, the muscle and the skeleton. Nigga, that shit was goddamn terrifying.
People don't get it. Like, they don't, like, Yogi the Bear. Yogi should be outlawed in schools. Smoking the Bear should be put down.
Matter of fact, you know what
this
it was?
This is not...
So, I've seen it in real life, but then the movie Annihilation, which I fucking hated, but there's that scene with that goddamn bear, like it's turned inside out.
I haven't seen
that movie. Dog, that scene alone is terrifying because it's a goddamn bear.
Nigga, the Revenant!
Yeah, it's...
Like, that's the most unbelievable part about that entire movie.
Yeah.
If that bear wants you dead, guess what? You're fucking dead.
Yeah, no. You...
Sorry, this is from the Bears podcast because we touched on a real fear that he and I share that I didn't realize. So I used to hunt when I was younger, and I never really went deer hunting because part of the thing about deer hunting is when you're in the stand, you've got your rifle for the deer, but you have to carry a 45 Magnum with you too as well in case a bear comes to the tree stand.
Nope.
And I was like, no, that's the stupidest guy I've ever heard in my life. And if you hunt bears, congratulations on that Darwin Award, man. It is in the mail.
Yeah. No. Like, there was, what was it? I used to watch Alaskan State Trooper.
This is the best show ever.
I used to watch Alaskan State Trooper, right? And so they always have this thing where the troopers always have to, at some point, do their, like, stint in the wilderness part of Alaska. And so anytime they're like, okay, yeah, so here's the 45 and here's our shotgun. We're checking on things like this, but we got to just be careful of bears. I'm like, what do you mean you got to be careful? I watched it in another episode. There was River Monsters, and they were in some river, and they were doing that, and they had to bring the 45 in case bear showed up. And so when they're fishing, and when Deuce fishing one time, a bear comes down, and so the producer had to pull the gun out and fire they had to fire like two shots, because the first shot the bear just kind of looked at it and was like,
yo, yeah, that's the thing is, you're not bringing the 45 to kill the bear. You're bringing the 45 to scare it and attract other people around you.
Right.
Like, that's the... Okay, let's talk about the episode.
Right, I'm sorry. Yeah,
if you guys watch Archer, his fear of alligators, that's me and bears.
Oh, yeah, no, bears. Bears and sharks are mere things I don't fuck with.
Sharks I'm cool with because I don't fuck with them. They don't fuck with me. I go in the ocean.
Right. I mean, that's the thing about the sharks, right? It's like, I can avoid the ocean, but bears is just like... Like all the videos,
especially, and this is about me going on a longer tangent, but especially with the deforestation and destruction of the natural environments in our country, bears, like, You see a cute bear video? That video is about 8 seconds away from being a horrifying bear video.
The videos of the people with the pools and their bears are all, look at a family of bears.
It's on the slide. I'm like, so you moved.
Right, because it's like, so now the next time you're out there in the pool or something like that, you got to worry that bears are going to show up into your pool. You can't go out there anymore.
You just sold the house.
Right.
Don't mention the bears.
We're sorry to turn to the bears.
Podcast. I'm not sorry. It's a public service.
Yeah, right. No, it really is. We're trying to help you guys all out. Just, if you see a bear,
you're welcome.
Run. Yeah. So anyway, about this episode. I don't even know where we're going. How do you know how to get back on track?
I wanted to say shark versus gorilla. Well, oh yeah, but
yeah,
this is a better conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Shark. I'm going with shark. And obviously here the shark won. So. Yeah.
The shark won handily.
Yeah. 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 I will say there's one thing I do want to say. Welcome back, Jesse L. Martin. And
I like that they didn't just let it be he was visiting Hawaii. I'm glad they added, because even the beginning, it felt a little flimsy. I think you brought it up in one of our older reviews. It's like, you got to have a better reason for not being there. And right. They did. They did a good job of tying it into the larger themes of not just the show at large, but like this season and this last couple episode arc for Iris too.
Right. Yeah. And there's a couple things I like. One is clearly his back is better because he's clearly moved. Like they were just like, he was moving all over the place. He was like, okay, listen, we're going to do this. We're going to be moving.
When Cecile sat him down and he tried to go, I was like, oh no, not again.
Right. No,
it's like, Joe, get up.
Right. No, he was all over the place. I was like, oh wow. You know, it's, you start really noticing, and I was like, oh, wow, he wasn't moving in the beginning of the season, because now he is moving all over the damn place.
They would just post him up on shit and be like, don't move, Joe.
Yeah, I was almost surprised they didn't be like, yo, when I come back, I want a tango, just because. But I do
Joe,
also...
Joe, what are you doing? Training for a marathon.
Right. I do want to say this, though. Not only do I like the way that they tied it into a larger thing with, you know, with Irish and stuff like that, I like the fact, and this again, we can talk about this when we talk about the Arrow stuff. I like the fact that they keep mentioning Walt. So
yeah.
Nobody else who has left the show, you know, gets mentioned like Wally does. Like they make a point of always mentioning Wally, which makes me believe that at some point he could always, there's always room for him to come back. He might not.
Door's always open.
Right, but the door's open, and I like the fact that they haven't just kind of forgotten that. Hey, yeah, you do have a son out there. Iris does have a brother out there, and this had happened. I love the fact that, again, so just leaving it there, I appreciate that. Because you know what it is? It's a thing that we used to complain about last season, which is the small details. This is a small detail that they really could get away with, and no, most people would not notice and would not care. And so them doing that, I appreciate it. I really, really do appreciate them kind of mentioning the Wally thing. And I also appreciate, because again, you know, we've had this little break. I appreciate them, you know, with Iris kind of feeling a little shaken after what happened, you know, the last episode with the fact that, hey, Cicada now knows where I work at, now knows who we are. And, you know, I kind of fucked up, you know, and so she's kind of worried about what goes on. And I like Joe telling her, it's like, listen, you have nothing to be afraid of. So
it's a reasonable reaction for the only person without any fucking powers.
No, exactly. It's a reasonable reaction, but I also like the fact that they didn't like end it with her kind of being like, well, now I'm gonna be scared for the rest. No, they took care of it and handled it in one episode, and so now we don't have to worry about, you know, scared Iris and Iris going, I appreciate that. So the other thing I appreciate is I appreciate the fact that we were right. And we said, if you get a metahuman cure, it's going to be used against somebody who without their consent. Thanks for proving us right, Barry.
Well, it's even weirder. Like this episode, obviously, it's a, if we were doing grades, it'd be A++ for me because King Shark versus Gorilla Grodd. But this is something that hadn't been touched on yet. So you and I are well-versed in our X-Comics. So when you say the word cure, our ears perk up. Mm-hmm. No one had ever, before now, and by the way, this includes Caitlin and Cisco. No one had a fucking problem with using it unilaterally until Barry did it.
Yeah. And Barry, and
this look, ethical quandary that should have been brought up before now, like maybe there wasn't room, I get it. But I guess in action where the ethics really start getting questioned. But once Barry uses it on King Shark, which by the way, he's about to eat Cisco.
Well, and so that's what I appreciate. So there's a couple things I appreciate about the nuances of how this went down. One, we've already, if you think about the season, I know with the breaks, it kind of, you know, gets kind of hard to kind of remember certain things. I appreciate the fact that we've been kind of going down this road with Barry of how far does Barry have to go to beat Cicada, right? So we've already had Barry kind of pushing the limits of what we want our heroes to do and kind of almost crossing some lines. And so I think that Barry's argument on face value is correct. It's like, yo, he was about to eat Cisco. What do you want me to do? I have a cure right here that can stop him. It would either don't do anything or let him eat you. I win, Barry wins. But I like the fact that Cisco kind of hit him with this line, even though they didn't follow up on it, which was, but did you make up your mind right at that moment, or had you already thought you were going to do that either way? And when you think about the kind of the scenes we happened before that, they never really answer it, but like the possibility is Barry did make up his mind before.
Well, if you watch the episode, like I watch everything on CW, I watch on the app. The preview clips from the beginning of the episode included him at that auction saying he got a crazy shades of gray.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's it. I'm glad they edited it that way because they put it back in the forefront of my mind because he never answers that question.
Yeah. Well, he never does. He never does. And so even when we end the episode and he's like, all right, what we're going to do is we'll offer the cure to Cicada, which I just want to say, by the way, offering your villain who hates metahumans, telling your villain who hates metahumans that you have a cure for metahumans, we could also
see, Chris, you're saying this because you, like I, have read X-Men comics and you know how this ends.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's like, that's not a good idea. But even beyond that, my thing question then comes up with a follow-up question, which is, okay, you offer the cure to Cicada, Barry. What if he says no?
Do you want this medicine? No, thank you. You're taking the medicine.
Right.
I feel like the asking is just like a very mere formality because, like, and I've actually struggled with this thinking about what they're doing in this episode because, again, X fans. But they brought up a good point here that the Earth One version of King Shark didn't turn into a shark, he just got riddled with tumors.
Mm-hmm.
These powers aren't all gifts.
Yeah.
And they weren't born this way. There was an outside force that altered them, which I think changes the way I look at it, honestly. But yeah, I found out that was a leap they were asking me to make as far as asking Cicada. And like, that's going to be our teaser for next episode. I'm like, all I was thinking was that's a stupid fucking idea.
Well, here's the other thing too, it's a stupid idea. First of all, I'm just saying, letting your,
let's just get that out of the way.
I just want to let you know. But we also, what do we know? We also know that the dark matter, the satellite shard, didn't just affect Cicada, they affected Grace. So then you get the argument of, okay, how far are we taking this? Like, if Grace is really the problem and Grace is really the issue, do you then, I think that this is opening up a larger, this is a larger moral thing than I think that the Star Labs has understood. Like, they just had a taste of what the issue is here. Because, again, you have the cure. You have Cisco about to be eaten. What are the choices? Were like, Cisco's over here. I was talking him down. I was like, he's about to eat you alive.
Right.
And you have the cure. So, and again, like you said, we're X-Fans, so we know if you create it, it will be used poorly. I mean, not even X-Fans. It's like life in general. Think about anything in life in general. Like, we didn't create... You create nuclear weapons, somebody's going to fucking use them, right? You it's create true. A weapon...
Occam's nuke.
Right. It's just going to happen. You know? The idea of you create something to be a choice, the idea that you create something to be a deterrent, it's, first of all, it's only a good deterrent if you actually can prove that it works, because if it doesn't, and if nobody, you know, again, you have to, at some point it's going to be used, and it's going to be used incorrectly, you know? And if you always say, well, it's only going to be used by the good guys, that's okay only until the bad guys get their hands on it, right?
Right.
So, and again, they brought up a good point when they were like, why they had to go to King Shark about getting him, again, going to him, because the other metas that Cicada's going after, they're like, they're never going to want to give up their powers knowing that Cicada's going after them. They'll never volunteer. Because what happens if what happens if they volunteer, they give up their powers, but Cicada still comes after them? We don't know.
How does he know they don't have powers?
How does he know that? Does he even give a fuck? Does he even care?
That's we both know the answer to that.
Right. And the answer is no, he does not. So, I mean, he was going, look, he was going after, Iris and the rest of the family. He doesn't, they don't have powers. So it's like, he doesn't care about any of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm really interested in seeing how this goes. Because here's the thing, too. It's like, Caitlin has Killer Frost with her, and she was always worried about, you know, that cure. What if the cure gets a... What if... So Katie gets her hands on the cure and then uses it on Caitlin, and now Killer Frost is gone.
Right.
You know? So I... This whole thing, which is a bad idea. Just a bad idea.
All bad ideas. But I'll tell you what, man. This episode, of course, that's all a bad idea. But the rest of the episode, like the fact that they can casually mention, oh yeah, there are other Earths, and oh yeah, Layla's daughter, son used to be your daughter, and like it's just so much stuff like that we just take for granted in year 7 of the Arrowverse.
Yeah, I love that she hasn't let that go. Like, oh yeah, like the fact that I
no, she's daughter. Like, I haven't forgotten. This used to be my daughter. You asshole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing that did stand out to me, it seemed like Sherlock had an issue with them maybe calling Harry on Earth too. Maybe I'm reading too much into that.
Oh, you're not. I noticed that too.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to say because it was just like he was like, well, they were like, well, we can always call Harry up from Earth too and see. And he was like, oh, why? That's not what I actually wanted you guys to. Well, what do you mean? Why? Why? Why are you? Why are you hesitant of them calling Harry from Earth too? What's that about?
Yeah.
You know. So, I'm really interested. And seeing how what's up with that? Let's see. Oh, there's something else I was gonna ask.
My dogs apparently have decided to get involved in the interview on the podcast.
Oh, I was gonna say I like the fact that, you know, again we forget how much we miss Papa Joe when he comes back and he kind of put together. It's like seems to me that Cicada might be getting other help. So then tying the fact that you had Jones working with the cop working with Cicada before, he's like,
right.
Maybe the reason why we're kind of missing all this is because, and Iris kind of cut him off because she didn't, you know, she was worried about things, but it's like, I like the fact that Joe's kind of putting things together. Like he's probably getting help from other places, which will then
put. And I like how it low key made Iris more paranoid.
Yeah. Cause it was like,
oh, like wait. That note plays against her face. Like shit. He's right.
Right. It's like, oh, well now, that puts my dad back in the line of fire and oh shit, you know? So I appreciate that as well. Yeah, I think a pretty straightforward episode, to kind of get us with the cure stuff and like how you know what it is? It normally this would have been like a one-off episode with a small thing, but I think that this cure is going to play a bigger piece. So using King Shark in that respect, with Gorilla Grodd, I think worked out. Especially coming back from a break, you know? It gives you a low key episode with some good CG and two characters I can't still believe we got on TV, but it also still advances a plot line that we're going to be using going forward to take on Cicada. So anything else you gotta say about this episode?
No, it was just a great hour. I thought it's a good way to come back from break, honestly. Giving us a bunch of CGI shit and letting a shark fight a gorilla is a pretty good way to welcome back to the show and let you know they're going full tilt to the end of this thing. And just a really impressively put together hour that grabbed me from the beginning and, you know, really carried all the way through. Aside from like the pants thing and the weirdly unethical moral quandary of, well, we can't force the cure on people, but we can leave Gorilla Grodd in a medically induced coma.
I thought you were going to talk about the ethical situation of a woman wanting to fuck a shark.
No, that movie won an Oscar, didn't it?
Valid.
I mean, didn't it?
Valid point.
I mean, I feel like they're just doing a smaller version of that, or maybe larger. Was he as big as the shark? I don't think he was.
He was not as big as King Shark.
But also the CGI, like, I really liked how it looked like, because I think you already mentioned the CGI of the Gorilla City fight last year. I think part of it was the fact that it was just these two characters, mm-hmm. and they were alone for a lot of it, so you didn't have anything to like, really bounce them off of. But it felt like when they were fighting in that warehouse, they had actual weight.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that
and that's been one of the problems with the CGI on this show is that when they go large scale, it feels kind of floaty.
Yeah.
And I thought the fight was really, really well pulled off.
Yeah, I think they there's a perfect balance of that. And I think because we've kind of gone, like you said, we've gone a little low tech almost for the rest mm-hmm. from all the other seasons. They were able to kind of build up to putting the money in into the CG for this episode. So yeah, I think that worked out really well. So. All right, so that's it for The Flash, and so I think now it's time to talk about if somehow you just haven't heard it yet. It's been announced that next season, this fall, Arrow will be returning for his final season. It's 8th season for 10 episodes, which pretty much means it's the 10 episodes leading up to Crisis on Infinite Earth. And this will be the final season of Arrow, which look, and I said this in the Facebook group. I don't care if Arrow ends next season. Going forward, this will still always be known as the Arrowverse because they earned that shit. And if you had told me 8 years ago that we would have gotten 8 seasons of Arrow, and even if you think about that first season, that first season of Arrow, if you had told me we would end up where we're at now with this entire, not just the entire like WB TV comic book universe, but also you know, with Arrow itself and what they're doing on Arrow itself, I would have told you were crazy. And so,
So if you watch those first 3 episodes of Arrow again, it's very clear this show was intended to be a love triangle between Tommy, Laurel, and Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
And then the superheroes are going to kind of be the dressing for it. Mm-hmm. And they change it on the fly and they said, no, we're not going to do this CW light kind of superhero show. And now they're allegedly going off the air with Crisis, which is just fucking insane. Right. I say allegedly because if the show Arrow is ending, there could be another show replacing it called Green Arrow.
Well, so what I saw, I think it was Berlanti, they did an interview and they basically said that the reason they're ending it, and I don't, and even if they do it with Green Arrow, it'll probably be somebody else under the hood. And I don't mean
It could be a sister,
right? It could be that. And the reason why I say this is because like they basically say that they need to start looking at the future and making room for other shows, which like you've had 8 seasons of Arrow, and at this point, I think we've reached the point where we're about to get the full. We've talked about this before. You're about to get a full arc for almost all the characters, and so. Mm-hmm. I think that because there's also the thing that the 7th season of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. might be its last season, and I'm like, I'm not sad when shows come in knowing that they're going to end because that means that they're going to be able to go out on their own terms. So here we know that they're going out with these last. Well, first of all, this last season, because we're still in season 7, we're still in the middle of this season here. We still got like half a season left to go with Arrow this season. Then we got 10 more episodes, and then that next season. That means they know what they're doing. They're going toward something. And I say that they probably have known this for a while because if you go back to what we just did with the crossover this season and Oliver making some kind of deal, you know, in there. So we know something's going on. We know something's happening here. And so I feel like they've kind of had this in mind going forward. And I think it's fine. I think it's okay. And I think it opens us up to say, we can almost do a depending on how they do Crisis, they can almost do a reboot of their entire slate of shows and do something new and carry on. And I think it all comes from, I mean, like I say, there's been some ups and downs or whatever you can say, but Stephen Amell and that Arrow cast, they did something special. They did something special and
yeah,
you really got special. You got to give them credit for this. And I'm not going to be sad seeing them go out. It's a standing ovation because they deserve it and they've worked really hard. Like, here's the thing. 8 seasons is a lot, guys.
So much.
That's a lot of, and it's 8 full seasons. This is not 8 seasons of 10 episodes. This is 8 seasons of 22, 23 episodes a season, plus doing crossovers, plus doing appearances in other people's shows. Because remember, there were a couple episodes of Flash that they did little mini crossovers. You know, so that's a lot. And I gotta say that I think that as a whole, that cast deserves, because they pretty much been together that entire time. I mean, so they deserve a break.
They deserve a break, and I want to echo what you already mentioned about going on your own terms. It's so funny that, you know, we think we're kind of conditioned in this day and age to be instantly angry, instantly sad about a show ending. But I think it's sadder when a show doesn't know.
Right.
Like The Gifted, which we're going to cover later on in another podcast. That's obviously not here. They don't know what's next. Mm-hmm. They're writers and people on set, on crew, people who are acting, who don't know if they're going to have a job next time they go to shoot. And I prefer this. I prefer a team saying, hey, it's time to leave. We've said we need to stay. We've done what we wanted to do. Let's pass the baton on to someone else. And we could sit here all day and name the shows that overstay their welcome. Hi, Dexter. Damn you, Dexter. But I think going out on your own terms, were there some downs in the 8 years of Arrow? We got, of course there were. But these last two seasons have been fire. And if they keep this pace going into Crisis, let's be happy we had it and not be mad because it left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that, again, just the idea that we've gotten this. Like, the Arrowverse did what and adjusted. The thing that always, surprised me about the Arrowverse is how they were able to adjust the chains. Like, again, I remember when they first announced, they were like, we were all like, okay, you know, the first season of Arrow, not bad. Okay, we can deal with this. And they were like, well, we're thinking about going to do the Flash. We're like, nigga, what the fuck is wrong with you? You have something good here. You've gotten it. I mean, there's some bumps in the road here. You're gonna add in the. You can't do the fucking Flash on TV. What the fuck is wrong with you? Right? We thought they were fucking out of their goddamn minds. And next thing you know, they do the Flash, and we're like, well, actually, okay. So wait. Maybe we can do this. And so they made an entire universe, and it's just like, again, and they've been carrying on for 8 years, and I think that it's time. It's time for, you know, other shows to come in and fill the gap, especially if you're going to do Batwoman. Well, you can do Batwoman and you can replace, you know, have, again, you can still have these characters show up anytime as long as you don't kill them all off. And we don't know. Maybe that's how they replace, you know, Barry Allen dying with Oliver Queen. I don't know. But there's still a bunch of other characters out there that we can have and that can pop up in these shows. Who knows? Maybe at the end, maybe David Ramsey doesn't go anywhere and he finally does get his power ring. Who knows?
I think we're going to see David Ramsey flying with the power ring in Crisis.
Oh, no.
It may not be our Diggle.
Oh, no. It's going to happen. It's going to. Yeah. I'm with you on that one. I absolutely believe they've made too many mentions of it. I mean, first of all, there's too many thoughts about it. They wanted to do it before. And then when they mentioned it in the last crossover, like, yeah, no. Okay. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. So, yeah, I mean, I guess we'll talk more about this as we go through Arrow and review that and as we hear more about what they're planning for next season. But good, like I said, this is where I wish that the WB and the DC with their movies could look at. Like, look at what you do with animated, but also look at what you're doing with your TV shows. You have TV shows that have been able to do these for 8 seasons and adjust the changes. And when they hit a road bump, again, we've said, not every season of Arrow has been great, but when they hit road bumps, they bounce back. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lesson that the movie side really could learn from the TV side is, yo, these things are speed bumps. If you don't do something right the one time, doesn't mean to restart everything else. You take it, you learn from it, and you move on. So, but yeah, we'll see. All right, folks, there you guys have it. That is a review for Arrow, King Shark versus Gorilla Grodd. We already have a mailbag episode up. Like I said, we're going to be doing The Gifted soon. We'll be talking about that season wrap-up, which might also be the series finale, which would be sad, but it could be. And then I know at some point I got to schedule when we're going to do this next Star Trek Discovery review with the Star Trek Discovery crew, so we'll get that going as well. Also, next week should be when we're putting the 15th should be when we're putting the tickets on sale for Avengers Endgame here in DC and one in LA. Just stay tuned. We will probably be making an announcement of where you can get the tickets on sale next week when we do a review. So we'll have one. We'll at least have one more show before we do the announcement, so you guys can hear from us there. And I think that's pretty much it. Again, folks, thank you guys very much for listening. And until next time, we're out of here. Peace.